Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for October 14th. It's brought to you in part by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and with me in Tokyo, chilling out, is Jim Allen. What's happening, buddy?
I am chilling out. That's what day games will do for you. You get to chill. You don't have to run and panic. I do the running and panicking in the morning.
I was going to say, you always get to panic. That's one of your hobbies.
It is. And so I panic in order to get to the ballpark early. And then I relax all evening. So it's kind of a different thing.
Oh, good, good, good. On this week's show, we've got Climax Series Fever. So I guess we can relax and watch the games since neither one of our teams are playing in them.
Yeah.
And then because both of us were attending the PLCS, we're going to talk about that first, and then we're going to get to the CLCS and preview the second stage and more. So the bases are juiced. Let's get started.
Clearing the bases!
All right, so we both went out to Seibu Dome on Saturday, and you were there on Sunday, and I might go on Monday, I might not, I haven't decided yet, but the series is tied 1-1, and it's still going. Great blowouts to watch. Blowouts could be fun. These are really good, because this one today on Sunday was superb, I thought.
Well, of course, we had a superb pitching performance on one side of the ball, and the other thing was that, you know, the great thing about blowouts is
they're so easy to write.
And today's was easier because I could write about the pitcher. Yesterday actually I wrote about the pitcher as well. But, anyway, so yeah, they're easy to write. And I didn't even have to think about what happens if the Marines come back, because both teams were looking like the NFL taking their players off the field.
They were so out of it. And yeah, this was, this is a piece of cake to write. You're just waiting for the final score.
Sixth inning, you know, both teams were substituting, trying to get their guys extra rest for today, for Monday's game.
Yeah, I saw Nabi Q trying to recruit some fans out of the stands to play the outfield.
Yeah, that's right.
So rookie, this guy's a rookie, right?
He's very good.
And, wow, he was fantastic.
28-year-old rookie.
Yeah. I was thinking as he's throwing, and he threw some strikes that, you know, sometimes when the opponents don't think it's a strike, they want to argue with the umpire. These guys walked away from home plate knowing that they just looked at a strike and knowing there was nothing they could have done with the pitch had they swung at it anyway. Yeah. He was painting so much. I was starting to call him Michelangelo out there. He was painting so much. I mean, it was fantastic.
He was getting some real bite with his fastball, and I think that just messed everybody up. Because you don't see that many Japanese pitchers with that much movement on their fastball unless they're throwing a shoot or something.
Right. All right, well, let's get to the interviews. I went out and talked to Craig Bozell after Game 1, and then you talked to Dennis Sarfate before Game 2. So we've got a couple of interviews, and let's check those out real quick.
Craig Bozell with us now. What happened to you guys? You weren't playing that well heading into the playoffs, and then today you get this big victory. What changed?
It's going to be the 3 days off, you know, the opportunity to be in the playoffs changes things, you know. The mentality changes, you know, and hopefully it's the 3 days off helping us.
What did you guys notice about Kishi's pitches, because you guys hit him hard?
He was leaving a lot of pitches out over the plate. It was a big thing. He was making mistakes up in the zone, out over the plate, and guys were capitalizing on it, and they weren't missing pitches.
Now, Nishino came out of the pen, he escaped that bases loaded jam, and it seems like that gave you guys a little boost there because they could have tied the score if they had a big game.
That definitely, I mean, that's one of those situations right there that they didn't score there. That hurt them, I think. That was a big thing that kind of knocked them down a little bit because they had a little momentum going, and then they got it just shut down. So situations like that are game changers, you know, and then it carries over into the offense for us, too.
Certainly did. Yeah, did you guys feel like you had control of the game at that point?
Well, you never want to get too sure of yourself. You just got to continue to go out and put up numbers and put up the little crooked numbers on the board, and that's what really helps.
You said taking game one was the big thing now. What does this do for you?
It definitely gives us a little more momentum going in tomorrow because you're not at a do-or-die situation. So we can go out, relax, play our game, continue the way we played today.
And we were talking before the game and said that these teams are kind of similar when they have a lot of young guys who are up and coming and stuff. What's it going to take for you guys to finish and get through to the next round?
You know, it's going to continue to do what we did today, get hits all the way through the lineup, 1 through 9 doing everything. You know, it's not just a couple guys doing it. It was everybody. Everybody was contributing here and there, doing what they had to do.
Now, how big is momentum? I mean, they had some momentum coming into this game. You guys score a bunch of runs today. You guys got momentum going into tomorrow. How much does that play into it?
Plays into a lot, you know, because so now we've just got to capitalize on it. And that's the big thing.
How?
That's one of those big questions in baseball that I don't know if there's an answer for. Because it's momentum is the key to this game, and luck. So it's hard to explain how.
Now, you played for this team, and the manager managed this team. How big is it for you guys to go up against them and get through to the next round? You want to get past these guys, obviously.
Oh, definitely do, you know, because, I mean, I know our manager managed these guys. I played for him. There's another guy on this team that played for him. So it's just, we just got to take it. I mean, it's an old cliche, one game at a time, one pitch at a time.
All right, dude, thanks a lot for the time. Good luck.
We got to win one game. So,
yeah.
But it happens. You guys are tired. It's been a long year. We had a fight to get into this spot, and we won 12 out of our last 14. So
yeah.
We just got to...
One bad game.
Yeah, one bad game. No, it's not, but it can have effects on us the next day. You know, you lose 11-1 in a playoff game. It just shows you. I mean, last night, the Dodgers lose an extra innings, and the day they get shut out 1-0. So, you know, things like that in baseball just happen. But he's got to bounce back, and hopefully, you know, Yosuke, it's all about our starters. If our starters can get to our bullpen, then we're fine. It's just that if we go 2 or 3 runs early, it's a dogfight. So
Didn't expect to see that from Kishi yesterday.
No, he's been so good. Right. From his early struggles earlier in the year, the last 4 months, he's been, you know, our ace where he should have been. But, you know, guys are tired. He elevated a couple pitches, and they hit a couple balls out. And yeah, I think actually the one that Iguchi was by design. I think, you know, after that slow curve he just missed with, I thought the high fastball was a good call, and he got it.
A little more of the plate than he wanted.
Yeah, probably. And so, you know, it happens. And then, you know, Sabro hits the ball straight up in the air. It carries out.
Sure.
But, you know, they swung the bats good yesterday. They got, 16 hits. So I felt like they were on attack. They weren't taking too many pitches. They were swinging pretty often. You know, even after that home run in the first inning, he kind of went right after those guys. And, you know, they were swinging and missing. But, you know, you make a few mistakes. They get a couple runs on the board. Gives them some confidence. And then they, you know, a playoff game, all you need is a couple runs sometimes. And, you know, they only needed 2 yesterday. They got 11.
Yeah, well, the confidence is the one thing they might have been lacking a little bit coming in.
Yeah, you know, after we just beat them 10-2, you know, 4 days ago to get home field advantage. So maybe that woke them up a little bit. Who knows? It can happen. So
maybe this one woke you guys up.
Yeah, maybe. You never know. I just feel like in Japan it's such a big thing to win game one of especially a 3-game series. I think it's a joke. It should definitely be a 5-game series.
Yeah. Well, you guys still have an advantage. You could tie this one.
Yeah. We can tie today and then win tomorrow,
and tie tomorrow.
You know, yeah. So, I just think that's amazing. Like, it should come down to five. It should be a 5-game series. It should be that this is what it is. Because you work so hard, it's like they put no emphasis on getting second and third. They might as well just have first place play first place from the other league, and that's it.
Yeah.
Just make it 2 teams go, and that's it.
Of course, in 2010, those guys had to win the last 3 games of the regular season,
and then they did.
They ended up
winning the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, you never know. We had to go on a tear just to get in. We were in fourth place, you know, a week and a half ago.
Right.
So, I think today would be a good matchup.
Yeah, we're in fifth place a little while
Yeah,
ago.
We really were.
No, it's about fourth. You're
well,
right.
Well, we were about half a game out of fifth. If Oryx would have won that one game, or Nippon Ham, one of those 2 teams, we would have been tied for fifth.
Wow.
And then we just went on a tear. So hopefully we catch fire again. I think this team's good. Our lineup's good.
Yeah.
It just comes down to our starting pitching and then our bullpen. You know, we gave up a 5 spot in the 8th, and one here, one there. We're right in that game. If we don't, you know, if it's 4-1, we're in striking distance. It starts getting 8-1, 9-1. You can go ahead and kiss it goodbye.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
especially with their bullpen, their 6, 7, 8, 9 guys are pretty good.
Yeah. Well, this team's a little better team than it was at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
With Nakamura back.
Yeah.
And you know, doing what we saw yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. This our lineup's definitely. I would say it's the best in the league now that we got, you know, Nakamura back. You got Sakata back.
Kataoka's
back, and he's been on fire.
He's a player, you know.
Yeah.
When he's really good, he's good.
Yeah.
But he's usually a low on base percentage. Mm. He doesn't really always make the smartest plays, but you guys always seem to play well when he's in the lineup.
He's pretty good, solid defensively, and he just gets it done. He's got some juice for a little guy.
Yeah.
Like, he can hit the ball out. I've seen him a couple times this year. I was like, wow, that's impressive. So, you know, we hope everyone's on their game today, and hopefully, you know, everyone forgot about yesterday. I know I have already. Who cares?
Yeah.
But we got to win today. That's what it comes down to.
Take care of business today and take care of business tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, good talking to you.
Good talking to you.
Take care. Good luck.
All right. Well, thank you both guys. Thank you, Craig, for taking the time afterwards. And you talked to Dennis. I guess you grabbed him just before the game, before you ran up to watch more baseball.
Yeah, he was running away from me, and I tackled him and made him talk.
Yeah, I can just imagine that happening. Of course, he was probably running up to watch my Dodgers as he mentioned.
Aren't we all?
Yeah, well, actually, that game was probably over by the time he got to the ballpark, so I guess he didn't have much to watch. But anyway, yeah,
well,
good stuff.
He said it was over before we were talking.
Yeah.
When we were talking, he mentions it, so.
Okay. Well, what did you pick up from the Brazil chat?
Well, that momentum is everything except when it isn't.
Now, the Marines came out and blasted the Lions in game one and won 11-1.
Yeah, this is the third straight game in which the winning team, the third straight game these two teams have played in which the winning margin was 10 runs or more. No, 8 runs or more.
You mean in the climax series?
No, in this year.
Because I thought the last game of the year was 10-2.
10-2. It was eight runs. Yeah.
8 runs or more, okay.
The Lions waxed them 10-2, and the Marines did them one better. They went 11-1.
Yep.
And then so on and so forth.
Right.
As we move on. So, yeah, so momentum, you know, seems like a good thing, but, you know, it's, as Craig says, you know, the magic is nobody knows how to keep that momentum. There's no rule book. You know, there's no how to execute momentum protection or inertia or something.
Yeah.
So
momentum protection unit or something.
Exactly.
There's nothing out there for it. And they had 16 hits the first day. Craig didn't get any. He didn't get any hits that first game. But yeah, it sounds like he believes in it, but he doesn't obviously. The time off and their momentum was going the opposite way before the season ended, and they had time to regroup, and I think that gave them new life, and it lasted, you know, 7 innings.
Well, they seemed on Friday listening to manager Stomarito talk, and he said basically we've played very badly in this park, and I have no idea how these games are going to turn out because every game has been a surprise. I don't expect my pitchers to go deep into games because we haven't. The plan when you want to, you know, solidify things is to, you know, get to six, seven innings from your starter. But here, he said, we've missed bunts. We've made bad throws. We've made so many mistakes that regardless of what we did, we have failed to develop any kind of momentum.
Any good momentum, because it was all bad before this series started.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, and then Dennis comes on and talks about, obviously, before game two, fact that they needed to bounce back and forget about the loss. Mm. And it seems like they did a good job of doing that. They won Sunday, 15-0. Now, we talked about Okamoto just briefly a second ago, but I mean, this kid, where did this come from? I don't think even Nabi Q envisioned, you know, getting even 7 scoreless from him. So I think he just, you know, once they got the runs, he just said, well, we'll let him go until he runs out of gas.
Mm.
And he
nobody got to second base today.
Good grief.
Well, that helped having the 4 double plays.
Yeah.
But there were only, I think, 7 base runners on, and 4 of those were erased on double plays. So, yeah, he was something. And, you know, I think it was interesting that Sarfati said, you know, just get it to the bullpen. Well, the bullpen was in recess today. The Lions guys are down there working on their dominoes, I think.
Yeah, which I think, you know, this win was great for them on two levels. One, they got this career day from a kid who, if they go on to the second stage, if they go to this final stage, I think they're going to be happy to give him a start and see what he can do. And then the other thing is they got to rest the bullpen while the Marines didn't. And that's big for the third game.
Well, they gave their big guys some rest because they let their 2011 number one draft choice,
Fujioka,
take one for the team and give up 8 runs in.
You say take one for the team. I think you took about 3 or 4.
Yeah, he was. They were losing bad, and he said, come on, just give us one more inning. And we just went out there and got hammered.
I think what they were yelling from the bench was, make him hit it at somebody.
That was the plan. Well, the guy who started Matsunaga, I really like Matsunaga.
Actually, I do too, and he had pitched so well in spots this season. Yeah, he'd done well for them.
And I would, a couple of things. First, I want to go back to the first game. Or shall we start talking about the first game?
Go ahead. Go back to the first game.
Because I talked to one of my favorite stories this year from a distance. I say that from a distance because I haven't read a lot about him, and I hadn't spoken with him until today. Oh, well, until after yesterday's game, who's Takuya Furuya. This is a guy who basically couldn't find work on the Lotte team. And he turned out to be their best starter this year.
Yeah.
He was a middle reliever. He was one of that gang of middle relief, pretty much nameless middle relievers who saved the Marines, bacon in 2010. And, then his career went into hibernation for a couple of years along with the rest of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, well, anyway, so just to fast forward a little bit, we're in, I'm going to say June. And this guy and the Marines are pitching and playing against Oryx. And I remember that day because I believe there were 4 no-hitters going into the 6th inning.
Mm-hmm.
And Furuya went 26 guys before he allowed a hit. He had a perfect game going through 26. He ended up with a one-hitter, one-hit shutout, no walks. And who is this guy? It was his second career starting. And so I asked him today, what's up with you?
What's your deal, dude?
Exactly. What's your problem, man? So he said that he had been, as a reliever, he doesn't throw very hard. Mm-hmm. I think his fastest pitch yesterday was 137.
Right.
Okay. So he doesn't throw very hard. And as a reliever, the point thing was he needed to throw a little harder. And what happened is he kind of tightened up after his one moderately successful season in the bullpen. He started tightening up and trying to throw harder, and he lost all his stuff. And so they decided, well, we're going to make, for some reason, the new pitching coach, Akio Saito and Ito, last autumn, decided to make him a starting pitcher. And in order to be successful, he tried a number of things, which was basically going back to a very relaxed motion. He looks like he's throwing a frisbee out there, which as Yoshinori Tateyama is famous for.
Mm-hmm.
He's not that big of a side armor. He's kind of a high side armor, but he's got a funky little release where he snaps his wrist and it's hard to see the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And, he just had doing that. He went back to having superb command. And his changeup is a lot better than it used to be, and he's been getting – he throws a slurve. I said, is that a slider or a curve? He says it's a slurve, okay, mm-hmm. which means it is what he wants it to be when he wants it to be.
Mm-hmm.
But he throws them for strikes, and he pitches aggressively. And anyway, so he came out, and he had a pretty good game. He only lasted 4 and 3rd innings, but they were pretty good.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I mean, they just took him out because it's a playoff situation, and they want to make sure, hey, if somebody's looking like they're getting into trouble, let's get him out.
And then Nishino came in.
Take care of business. And, yeah, he had the bases loaded and one out, so they brought Nishino in, and he got a strikeout and a flyout, as I recall.
Yep.
And to escape that jam. So, Yeah, so they got through game one fine, and
yeah, well, of course, what the other side is exactly what Craig said about Kishi. He left some stuff up, and they just murdered it.
Kishi, yeah. He was leaving. I tweeted that he's leaving some pitches up, and that one, just like you said in the interview, except that the location of the I think going high with the fastball was good, but he just threw it right over the middle of the plate, and we've seen that swing from Iguchi a million times, and that's, you're not getting a lot of those back. The other one, I don't know if Sabato hit the ball straight up in the air, but it was one that was hard to judge.
When that came off the bat, I mean, I'll tell you, when that one went off the bat, I couldn't see because I was in the
That's right, you're downstairs, right?
I was at the ground level press box, and I can't see the ball going up, but I just saw that ball go off the bat, and I just marked foul ball in my scorecard.
Yeah. I didn't think it was going as far as it went, and I certainly didn't know if it was going to be fair or not, but I didn't think it mattered. I thought it was going to be caught, and then it just kept carrying. Maybe there's a jet stream. We've got to check and see if there's a jet stream over there near the foul pole and left to ask Okawari-kun, see if he can tell us. But then on Sunday, this thing was just no contest. They came out and scored some runs early. I think they scored a Climax Series record. They're the first team to score in five consecutive innings. They scored two in the first, two in the second, one in the third, three in the fourth, and five. A big five spot in the fifth inning. And that was pretty much all she wrote. And in Dennis Sarfate's chat that you had with him, the thing that stood out for me was he hit it on the head with the comment about the three-game series. It's just so quick. It's over in the blink of an eye. You can't even play it like three games. You've got to play it like one inning, two inning spurts at a time,
right,
to make sure you're either getting a lead or getting guys on and then trying to work them over and trying to figure out how you get through. I think it's even more so in the Central League where you have the pitchers batting. But I don't know if they can make it a five-game series. I think that would mean that the league champions are sitting around even longer, and then it kills your team to go, let's say it goes all five games, to go through all your entire rotation and your bullpen and then have to take on the league champs. I don't think that's fair for the winner of that series. So I think it's better if it's a three-game series. But it is quick. It is a blink of an eye.
Well, I mean, on the other hand, they've got the double wild card system in the major leagues. I didn't hear either of the two teams who made it who got one shot at reaching the, had to win two single games to get to the divisional series.
Right.
I didn't hear the Rangers or the Rays complaining that that's what they needed to do. It's a chance. It's a chance where none otherwise existed.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I agree. I'm just thinking, obviously you can complain that it's a quick series, but making it a longer series isn't really a solution either.
I don't know what the solution is to that. So today we came out and, as I was mentioning, that Matsunaga, who I like, basically, except for a couple of, in the second inning, he came out and he went like, okay, he looked good finishing the first inning. He's losing 2-0 because he was tight. He was tight and his pitches were, his command was awful. Second inning, he cuts through the bottom of the order like in nobody's business. And I'm going, okay, come on, he's on it. And then the first pitch to Esteban Germán ends up in right field. And it's like, oh gosh, here we go again, and before he knows it, whoa, Kataoka drills one over the center field.
Yeah, that was crushed. Yeah, that was a spanking right there.
That wasn't a bad, I didn't see the pitch, and so I can't talk about it, but
it was in the happy zone. I mean, this is a place where this dude doesn't hit balls, so I mean, yeah, it was up in
there was, plate. He had, they had some of those pitches early, I mean, when they got the three-run inning, I don't remember which inning it was, but one of the first, when they had these innings and they just got single after single after single, it was, the first one was a nothing, it would have been an out if it had been hit anywhere near anybody.
Mm.
That was the one, I think that was the one Asamura topped the fastball, and he just found the hole, right? Just found daylight. And
well, he wasn't missing bats, and that's what happens when you don't miss bats, I mean.
Well, that's the kind of out, that ball is an out most of the time.
Yeah.
When you roll over a fastball and it gets three hops to second base.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that time, and things went from, they were already bad and they just went into the abyss.
All right. Well, let's look forward, even though the series is not over. Now, I picked the Lions to get through in three, so I'm going to stick with my pick, even though I'm starting to feel like Chris Berman, who is probably the worst prognosticator I know out there with ESPN. But if I'm sorry, people, if I picked your team to win a series or something, it's nothing personal.
Well, I like the Lions too, and so far it's played out. For no reason that I can think of, Furia was the one Lotte starter I trusted, and he did his job. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. I don't know who the starting, I'm guessing it's going to be Makita and,
Karakawa,
right? They were talking to him at the, so Karakawa, you know, the Lotte Beaver Riders were saying, look, we got nobody. We've run out of people who actually know what they're doing on the mound.
Yeah.
So, I mean, somebody was even saying, geez, you know, if the Marines win, who's going to start game one of the second series? And they were still talking about Naruse.
Yeah, I don't think they have to worry about it, but yeah, I guess Naruse could come around. But, if the Lions go through, I'm going to pick the Eagles to win the second round in six games. And if the Marines go through, I'll pick the Eagles to win the second round in five games.
I'm good. I like those. I'm gonna second that motion. I think my most likely it is the Lions, but you never know. We had obviously one game, but the Lions only need to tie this game on Monday to go through. So that's a very it's a slight advantage. And here's another one for some of you who missed it a few years ago. I'm gonna say it was 2011 when the SoftBank Hawks won the Climax Series. They did it by tying the final game.
Yeah, I do remember that. I don't know. Yeah, and, maybe it was 11, yeah.
Yeah, it was either 2010 or 2011. And they didn't, and other than Nobuhiko Matsunaka, everybody knew that they had to play the bottom of the 12th in a meaningless game, but that rule is no longer in force.
Right.
So if the Lions need to tie, and let's say they're trailing by a run in the bottom of the 12th. As soon as they score the run, the game is over, ends in a tie. So at least they did that part right.
All right, let's move along to the Central League. Now, geez, again, if I pick your team to win and you don't, don't take it personally. Now, I'm going to take you to Vegas, though, Jim Allen. You said three guys would hit home runs. And
hey, I didn't get them all right.
You didn't get them all right, but you got the three home runs.
I missed Matsuyama.
Yep, yeah. You missed Matsuyama, but Maru hit a home run for you, and Kita hit a home run for you, and the Carpies move on through to the second stage. I'm really happy. I mean, I wanted to root for them, but I, you know, if I'm a betting man, I was going to bet on the Tigers. And what I didn't bet on, though, and I don't think this was a fair fight, and I kind of want my money back, because I was assuming that Yu Takawada was a real manager and that he didn't, that he wasn't going to screw the whole thing up and, like, spontaneously combust. And
leave his best pitcher.
And yeah, leave the gun loaded and just walk into a fight with his bare hands. I mean, I tweeted immediately. I said they're sharp because for those who don't know, they usually announce the pitchers they've been doing it for 2 years now, right?
Right.
And they decided for the Climax Series to add a little drama that they're not going to announce starting pitchers. So I think Wada decided he was going to try to trick the opposition and fool them and surprise them.
Right.
And so he starts the 19-year-old rookie with, you know, barely a season under his belt. And immediately I tweeted, I said, what is Wada thinking? And somebody said, he tweeted back, he's thinking he wants to start a new career next year.
Well, before he became a professional baseball player, his dream was to be a teacher, so I guess that avenue is always open.
What's he going to teach? How to screw up your life?
Wow. That's harsh, John.
Okay, how to take the hearts of thousands of Tigers fans, hold them in your bare hands, one at a time, and squish them. Because that's what he did. I mean, you know, I just think it sent a bad message to the team. It put them obviously behind the eight ball. They didn't look good from the start. They looked tight. And that's what I'm even, I didn't, not looking good, but not hitting. Yeah. And they were even tighter today. because they were in an elimination situation. And even though they got the lead with that, Nishioka hits a home run for them in the bottom of the first and puts them up, they just never had anything going. I don't know what the point of Fujinami was. I asked all the people who are around me in the press box at Seibu when I saw Fujinami was announced as the pitcher. I asked the other reporters, and their jaws were still open. They had to they had to pick their jaws up off the floor to try to answer, and they just none of them could figure it out. So I don't know what the deal was. You leave Messenger and Standards, and these guys are the numbers 2, 3, and 4 pitchers in the Central League in ERA, and you leave them on the shelf to rot while you send out the teenager. Oh, well.
Well, I think, I don't know if he's crushed the Tigers fans. I think they're sort of reinforcing the fact that they, what's their record now in the postseason at Koshien since the Climax series? 0-6 now.
0-6. Well, they shouldn't have won that many. Oh, wait a minute. But congratulations to
the Carp. They're
perfect. They're perfect. Congratulations to the Carp. They played great. Kita hits the home run on Saturday, and then he comes back with a double to tie the score. I think it was the sixth inning today, and then Brad Eldred.
What a game for Brad Eldred. Boy, MVP Golden Glove Brad Eldred, we're going to start calling.
Man, oh man. Now, I talked to Brian Bullington off the air did the interview. I talked to him for a little bit, and I said, look, I'm always going to be questioning your defense, the defense behind you, particularly the fact that you're going to play Brad and, you know, two first basemen, and you're putting one of them out there in left field. And he said, well, look, you know, he's not that bad. He gets to the balls that are hit at him. You know, he doesn't make mistakes, and he gets to the balls that are hit at him. Some of the other balls, you know, nobody gets to, or other guys don't get to either, he said. So Brad today, there's a line drive at him, and he runs back and jumps and makes a catch on the warning track, stumbles into the fence, and then gets the ball back toward the infield, and they get a double play.
And a heck of a throw.
And a pretty good throw. Yeah, a really good throw. And then he comes up and knocks in the go-ahead run. Man, oh, man, what a game.
It was a great game, and it was, unfortunately for the, a kind of a bittersweet loss for the Tigers, because while everything that could go wrong did go wrong, they still had that little bit, you know, it was almost the ultimate Tigers experience, you know, in the middle of all this
pain and suffering,
there's this one shining moment that stands out. And, my buddy Shinji Ohiyama, who's retiring, ended his career with a 2-run pinch hit home run in the ninth. And it was like, oh, the Carp fans were crying. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I was at the office, and I looked up on TV. I said, geez, that's going to even make the Carp fans cry, because I'm sure the Tigers fans are already crying about the loss.
Yeah.
And that's just going to make sure that both eyes are not dry. But this one, that probably put teardrops in some of the fans of the Carp. Now, on Saturday, the Carp won 8-1. It was pretty much no contest. And Sunday was 7-4. And it was a good contest. But, it's a playoff game. Randy Messenger was the starter for the Tigers, and he gave up runs, and they had to take him out. I mean, they had no choice. But this is the other thing I didn't understand about Wada, is he didn't take him out and put in someone we know can get out. So he puts in Yuya Ando, and I'm like, no, you know, you know, you're supposed to take out a good pitcher and put in maybe at least one. I'm sorry, he didn't. It was Ando. Kubo came in before Ando.
Ooh.
So Kubo, Ando, and then they went to Kato, and then Boyer came in, and I'm thinking, you know, no, this is not the right order. Can we stop and rewind this? You know, this is wrong. He was just awful. I think it was a really, really bad debut for him in the postseason. I think he's going to have to answer for this. I mean, at least to the fans, they're not going to be happy with him, but I think he gets this contract extension just before the postseason. Am I right?
Correct.
And then he just makes them want to tear it up.
No, it wasn't a contract extension. It was the owner saying that he had no He had every intention to keep him for the third year, regardless of what happened in the Climax series.
Uh-huh. So he got the
seal of approval, baby.
The seal of approval before they saw what, you know, they okayed the box before they opened it.
Well, you know.
Sort of. I guess they knew what they had, but they didn't know what they had because they didn't know he was going to blow up in the postseason.
Well, you know, on the other hand, it wasn't an optimal performance. You know, it wasn't a great performance. But the most important thing is, you know, they had a very good season, and I think, you know, he deserves as much as he deserves at least some of the credit where he was given none of the, you know, all the blame for the team failing the year before.
Well, I do give him credit for developing some young guys. I mean, what's his name? Yamato Maeda is his last name.
Yep.
He got some early play and then got injured and then never really made it back. And then Imanari, Saka, he got some young guys in there and got them some experience.
Imanari's a guy they picked up for, you know, for peanuts last year. So
I give him credit, and he did manage the regular season fairly well, and they had a good stretch against the Giants early on, and he did some good things. But you can't blow it all up in the postseason. I mean, that's what it's all about. And
they had
a team that should have competed better in this series. I mean, you can't get outscored 15-5, I guess it is, and at home in two games and be, you know, trashed out of the playoffs. That's just not good.
Well, a lot of big managers have done very poorly in the postseason, so it's not the great sign, although some of them have gotten better. Some of them, like Hara, have gotten remarkably better. Some, like Sadaharo, never really got any better.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that is something to look for, you know, to look for in the future. See what he learns from this.
Yeah, well, don't spontaneously combust.
Okay, well, that's, you know, that's
easy to say, right? If it's spontaneous,
well, no,
then you can't control it.
That is for you because you got good pronunciation. I can't say that two times. Slowly, baby.
All right, they're coming to Tokyo to play the Giants. That series starts on Wednesday. Who you got?
I'm going to go with the Carp.
You are?
Yeah, why not?
I'm obviously I'm betting. This is real money, so I would bet on the Giants. I'll root for the Carp. The Carp were 8-14 against the Giants this year. They didn't play all that well, but they did have that 3-game sweep down at Mazda Stadium in September when they were making that push toward the final playoff spot for the Climax Series. So that was good.
Hmm.
But they're going to be playing all these games up here. I'm gonna have to say the Giants, but I think they're going to lose a couple games. And so this weird, quirky one-win advantage start that you play a game, you have a game that's not played on the field that you win. So they start the series 1-0. I'm going to say they're going to go 3-2 on the field.
Yeah, I think that's the most likely outcome. The Giants tend to get started slowly in the playoffs. You know, when the Giants, I'm trying to think, when have they ever won the first two games that they played? And
when they swept the Dragons 1 year.
Okay, 2008.
I think it was 2008, which sounds right.
Okay, 2007 they lost, 2008 they won, 2009 I don't remember.
I don't either. I think that was the year. That was the year. No, I can't remember what that year was. You brought it up.
Yeah. Well, they were basically the only one that I remember they started particularly strong was when they beat the
Swallows?
Tigers in Cotonou. They got swept by the Swallows. Thank you. They lost to the Swallows when they beat the Tigers at Koshien. Well, I'm not certain that's a good sign. They beat the Tigers at Koshien in the first round and then got beaten by the Dragons.
Right.
But they were on the verge of elimination last year.
Yeah. Yes, they were.
Against a team with no pitching.
Well, as it turns out, we just didn't know who these guys were, but they were quality pitchers, especially Ono. He became the ace of the staff this year. I mean, by default.
Well, no.
Ono was their best pitcher this year.
Okay, well, that may be, but I'm saying, were they quality pitchers? And I'm going to say no. They basically, the plan last year was for the Dragons, which was, I think, a very good plan, which was, let's throw every guy, every healthy arm who the Giants haven't seen in a year.
Yeah.
And basically three guys whacked them. And then when they had to go back to the well, when they had to use a guy that they'd seen, the Giants squeaked out a win and they squeaked out another win. And you get in a series like that and who knows who the MVP might. It might be a pinch hitter who got one hit in the entire series. Wait, it was a pinch hitter who only got one hit in the entire series.
Yeah.
So okay. That could happen. So I would love to see the Carp win because it would be interesting. Do I think they're going to? No, but you know what? Team of Destiny. Yeah. I mean, there's no logic. I'm going to pick the Carp or the Team of Destiny.
They certainly are playing the best.
Yeah, they have played the best in the second half. They and the Giants pretty much are the Carp had a better record than the Giants, but the Giants played pretty well for that. They're going to be in a but on the other hand, here's the thing. The Giants have a little more – actually, I don't know that the Giants have more power because Tokyo Dome is such a good home run hitting park. But the Carp are a pretty loaded team right now. I think they get a lot of pop up and down that lineup. I think they can play with the Giants. And the Giants pitching was kind of unsettled at the end of the season. I'm gonna go with the Carp winning this thing in six games.
Okay. Six, so they're going to play all six.
Oh, actually, I'm going to say five. I think if the Giants go to six, then they'll pull it out.
Okay, so five games on the field.
Okay.
Okay, so the Carp are going to go 4-1.
So as silly as that sounds, well, you know, I've been right before.
All right. Now, a quick note, I wanted to congratulate Tony Blanco, the Yokohama DeNA Bay Stars, for his double crown, because we kept talking about the fact that Coco Ballantyne was in line to get a triple crown, and Coco faltered a little bit at the end, and Tony was able to battle back and win the batting title, which I distinctly remember me saying back in April that Tony Blanco was not a batting title worthy player, but that this was good that he was having a good start and was hitting for a high average. So I wanted to say congratulations, and then he won the RBI title with 136. I
mean, that we saw kind of coming because he was on track there to
yeah, early on.
He was on track to have one of the all-time RBI seasons in Japanese baseball history. So
yeah. So he had an MVP type season as well. It's too bad that he wasn't considered, or I don't think they ever mentioned him with the MVP. But he certainly has the numbers: the 41 home runs, the 136 RBIs. He had a fantastic season. So good on him. Good for him and good for the DeNA Bay Stars, and hopefully with their same manager and new coaching staff, they'll be better next season.
We want the manager, but get rid of those bums.
Yeah, we want to keep the clown and lose the clowns.
Yeah, lose the comedians.
All right, well, we've got two big topics that we want to talk about, but they both were asked to us on the Facebook page, so let's go to Fielding Questions.
Okay, we have a couple of questions from Claudio, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Claudio, our buddy in Toronto, has a couple of questions that I believe he posted these on the Facebook page.
Yep.
Okay. I have a few topics I would love to hear you guys discuss in the next show. One, NPB scheduling. Boo hiss. I hear people, the Greek chorus is going nuts. Okay. How come they're going to play regular season games simultaneously with the beginning of the postseason? Now you can't call it a postseason anymore. And number two.
Oh, well, let's go with this one first.
You mean I have to answer them in order?
Yeah.
Oh, that's very systematic
organized.
Of you.
Systematic. All right.
Okay. All right. Well, first of all, yeah, they could certainly, the Eagles and Buffaloes who played on Wednesday, Tuesday, they could have played this Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah.
They had two makeup games, but I'm thinking the Eagles said, well, let's see. We can make up these games while we're sitting, instead of sitting around watching TV during the first stage of the climax series, we can play baseball.
Mm.
I think that was their choice. So that's pretty, you know, They left it up to the Eagles because they're the home team to schedule it. Okay, and it didn't conflict with the fifth place Buffalo schedule, and it didn't conflict with the first place Eagles schedule. So, I think that's what happened.
Yeah, immediately when I saw this happen and I saw this go up on the schedule, I'm like, you know, this is weird. This is not right. And it's just like the same concept I think that hit Claudio, which is how can you have regular season games going on in the postseason, quote unquote postseason. So I said, you know what this is Hoshino has a lot of pull. He was a national team coach, manager for a while. He's well respected. He just has a lot of pull, and I think they wanted these games on the weekend exactly when these teams were, when the postseason was going on, so that they could get their work in a real game situation and be done theoretically at about the same time that the first round of the playoffs are done. And I just thought it was a big power play by Hoshino. That's the only thing, that's the first thing I thought.
I don't think it had it. I don't think, well, I'm sure Hoshino thought it was a good idea, but I don't think it even goes that far. The home team has a right to schedule them when they want. So, I don't think there's any, I think this may see a rule.
Yeah, I was going to say they might schedule them when they want, but the league should come and put the hammer down and say, no, you can't schedule regular season games during the postseason. Finish your regular season before the postseason starts. Play them on Thursday and Friday. And you can play them on Wednesday and Thursday if you want, or you can play them on Wednesday and Friday if you want. But you can't have them on Saturday and Sunday. That's when the postseason starts. Get out of here with that stuff there. But we don't really have a commissioner. So that's the other problem. Nobody was there to drop the hammer. The hammer was there collecting dust on, you know, with the gavel.
Okay, the hammer and the gavel. Wow, that guy's well-armed if he had arms to use. Okay, well, the last thing is that this is kind of a tradition in Japan that we haven't seen for a while, because we used to, on occasion, have a regular season game, makeup game, on the same day as the Japan series started. I've seen a couple of those happen. So
yeah, that's before the playoff system started?
Well before, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I can almost understand that, because they almost tried to have games end on the same day back then. But I don't remember. I just remember the early 90s, and sometimes it seemed like most of the teams were done within about 3 or 4 days of each other at the end of the season before the Japan series started, but I could be wrong.
Well, you get two games. You know, the thing is that they would – when you have one of those postseason makeup games, I recall too, basically the teams give away, you know, it's free admission. And even then, they'll be lucky if they get a couple thousand people.
Okay. All right. Next question.
Next question about Chunichi. Motonobu Tanishige has been offered, I believe he's accepted, the manager's job in Chunichi. What happened to Tatsunami? Okay. Wasn't he the one supposed to inherit the position? John?
All right, well, obviously I asked around. This is some part of it was off the record from someone that I heard, and then I did ask another reporter. I asked actually two reporters, and one the former Dragons beat writer for the Yomiuri Shimbun. And the report I got back was Mr. Tatsunami has a little bit of trouble keeping his hands out of every open cookie jar, let's say.
Still,
he says. And so since there's a lot of open cookie jars, it's hard to keep him focused. And they're not sure that the franchise isn't really sure that it wants this kind of activity to be associated with the manager of the team. Maybe a coach is all right, but not the manager. And so, because of this, they're waiting, and they're waiting for him to tire or get old or something and not look around at the candy, you know, walk through the candy store and sample all the goods.
Okay. Well, yeah, he did, he used to have, I guess he had some trouble in the past, with alcohol and women, in the sense that he had some, violent episodes.
So you're saying he always had too much alcohol and he could never get enough women?
I have no opinion about his women, but I believe some of them were, he left a mark on some of them. And According to Tyrone Woods, he said that that really was no longer an issue as he got on in his career because he learned how to handle his drinking.
Mm.
But when he was a young star, that was a problem. So I guess there are more problems than but he's a he would seem, you know, he talks the talk, and I think everybody thought that was going to be the case. Now the interesting thing is the general manager of Hiromitsu Ochi. Wow.
Yeah, well the interesting thing is the player manager, you know, Tanishige being made a player manager, because I didn't see this coming at all. Of course, I've always thought that he was going to be a manager at some point, and he said in his press conference, I knew that this day would come. I always expected this day to come. I'm sure he thought that Tatsunami would be out of his Bill Clinton phase and that he'd have to wait in line, but I guess he just went straight to the front. Now, with Ochiai and Tanishige working together, these guys, I think they're almost, their philosophies are probably just about the same.
Mm.
And in fact, when Tanishige came out in the press conference and said, hey, look, if we don't give up any runs, we can't lose the game. And I'm like, where have I heard this crap before? You know, and,
crap.
Yeah. Well, I mean, certainly you can't lose the game, but you're not going to win any either. Who wants to tie every night? And he said, you know, we'll try to figure out ways to get runs. And I'm like, oh no, I know all these things that you're saying. I know that guy. You know, this is Ochiai. It's not even you. These are not even your opinions. You're renting them. You probably have to pay and return them before midnight or get charged a service charge.
Well, okay. Now just, you know, the other thing is why they called him the owner when he fired him, called him one of the more successful managers in Dragon's history. That's, you know, that's like calling George Washington one of the first presidents of the United States.
I did see
he got fired basically because he let the players know that if they didn't want to do any sort of fan service, that was perfectly okay. They shouldn't have to sacrifice for the fans. And they didn't.
Hmm.
And they're going to find pretty soon that as general manager, he's going to say the same thing. You don't have to, you know, just ignore the team.
Yeah.
Don't ignore the team. If the organization wants you to do something, just tell them to go mind their own business.
Yeah, and I was reading the story, and I did a translation as well, and it said, hey, they wanted to bring Ochiai back as manager. I had heard the rumors too, and I just assumed he would take over. And it reminded me of, I don't know if there are how many NBA fans out there listen to us, but there was a situation last year with the Los Angeles Lakers who were going to hire Phil Jackson, and it seemed like it was a done deal, and then all of a sudden they hired Mike D'Antoni to be the coach, and last week we hear, okay, Ochiai, 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 and then suddenly it's Tanishige who's going to come on as a player manager. So it kind of shocked us, especially catching a lot of people off guard. But here's the thing with that is that it seems to me like an act of desperation to bring both of these guys back. They know that Ochiai is a successful, know-how-to-win manager. He's a winner in terms of his process. But they want someone who, I don't know, I can't even think of a reason why Tanishige would be the manager. And a playing manager, you know, pitchers now, he's pretty brash with his pitchers already, telling them where to throw pitches. And, you know, it's only going to make them more nervous to have to pitch to him knowing that he's the manager. And I don't like the whole idea of the player manager being a catcher. If it's somebody in the outfield or a first baseman, I'm fine, but he's involved with every pitch. It just, I just don't think it's a good situation.
They, for the most part, have been catchers, at least the last three. He'll be the third after Atsuya Furuta and Katsuya Nomura.
Right.
But when Nomura managed, of course, his head coach basically managed the team, and that was Don Blasingame. And here we have the Dragons' head coach, Shige Kazumori, former head coach under Ochiai. So it's going to be... I think it's going to be more Mori's team to run than anybody else's.
I hope so, but I think, you know, we saw in 2006 and 7 with Furuta, it just didn't go well. It just didn't go well for the Swallows when he didn't play. It didn't go well when he did play. And I can see the same situation coming there. Of course, they're going to infuse a lot of the younger players, and they got him a lot of experience this year. And I really like Shuhei Takahashi. I think he's going to be good. But we'll just have to see how they do. I just don't like the whole concept of your pitchers throwing to your manager. It just seems weird.
Yeah, and you know, I remember, you know, does this count as a trip to the mound when the catcher talks to the pitcher?
That's right. Yeah, we discussed that in 2006 and 2007 when Furuta was going out to the mound, and I guess I don't know. I don't even remember the rule now. We'll have some homework for next week.
That'll be your homework, man. I'm out of school, baby.
All right. One quick note before we go. Now, the podcast awards are upon us again this year, and you can go to podcastawards.com and vote for Japan Baseball Weekly. You just punch in the RSS feed, which is on my blog site at japanesebaseball.com, and it's right up near the top. And just click on it and then copy and paste it in there. And we'd appreciate your vote. It takes about 5 minutes, and I hope you can take the time and do that for us.
Well, thank you very much for listening patiently to both of us tonight.
And we're looking forward to your more questions and some MP3s.
Yeah, we live on those things.
All right.
Next to baseball, MP3s are the best.
All right, and take Jim Allen's predictions to the bank, people. Take them to Vegas. Bet your friends. Bet.
No, don't. Don't.
I would. I'm sticking with you, buddy. I would love to see the carp get through. Let's see if they can do it. I'll see you out at the park on Wednesday. Oh no, that's right. You're not going. You're going to be Mr. Office Guy.
No, Wednesday I'm going to be Mr. Sendai Guy.
Sendai Guy. All right.
I'd love to be at Tokyo Dome. More, you know, with the carp there, more than anything, I'd love to be at Tokyo Dome, but that's just not the way the cookies are crumbling.
You get to take a trip. So have your cookies up in Sendai.
Well, okay, just don't call me Tatsunami.
Oh, all right. Well, no, yeah. I'm not touching that.
Good. Thank you.
I'm keeping my hands away from that jar. All right. Please send your questions or comments to yakyujohn@gmail.com, and we'll address them on the show. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your climax series.
I will.